Sunlight gleams over rippling water, the setting sun dips below a craggy peak on the ocean's horizon. Mar Vista Entertainment. Nighttime, a man's hand polishes a car's hood. Over black, Mar Vista Entertainment presents. The polishing cloth slides over the steering wheel, then cleans above the dash. A moody independent production. The hand places a plastic water bottle into a rear seat armrest drink holder. In a library, a blonde woman with dark framed glasses writes in a notebook. She flips a page in a large book. A John Stimson film. The man sits in the car's rear passenger seat. He stabs the water bottle cap with a syringe and injects clear liquid into the bottle. The sleek black car with tinted windows drives down a street. A title appears over the hood as it approaches a red light, the wrong car. The woman sets her pen down, leans back, and removes her glasses. Danielle Savory. Jackson Davis. She stands and gazes out a large window. Francia Risa. Christina Elmore. She packs up her brown leather bag. She paces on the sidewalk outside the library, then gazes up at a bus stop sign. Kevin Cox. Casting by Michael Testa, Kimberly McCollum. She grabs her phone from the bag, original score by Ed Grenga. The woman taps her screen, which displays a city map on a rideshare app. The black car speeds along. Costume designer, Hannah Mrine. Production designer, Bridget Keith. The car turns onto a quiet block. The woman cracks her neck. She taps her screen as the car's headlights shine across her face. She gazes up. Edited by John Stimson. Director of photography, Terrence Hayes. The driver pulls to a stop. Associate producers, Molly Martin, Michael O'Neill. She opens the back door. Executive producers, Fernando Su, Sharon Bordas.
Charles?
Hey, Trudy, I thought that might be you.
I didn't know you drove a net car.
I do, hop in.
Executive producer, Michael Moran. Trudy's hands rest in her lap next to the bottle.
So where are we headed tonight?
I'm headed to Technic Square, corner of Pleasant Copperfield.
Charles interacts with his rideshare app, written and directed by John Stimson.
You know, I don't normally splurge on a black car, but this is really nice.
So working late?
Yeah, this criminology class is kicking my butt.
Look, I can help you if you want.
Charles.
Okay, don't get all defensive. It's just an offer.
She smiles.
Do you feel safe?
How so?
You know, letting strange people into your car. I mean, you're bound to get some crazies. You know, my mother always told me, don't pick up hitchhikers or get into strangers' cars.
Well, I know more about you than you think. Trudy O'Donnell, 4.7 stars.
What? Someone didn't give me a 5?
Clearly, you'd tick them off pretty bad if they only gave you a 4.
Clearly.
No, I feel safe enough, though. Plus, you know, I don't have to deal with any cash.
That's true.
His eyes flick to the rear view.
Oh, you know what, Charles? Just go a little further up. I'm on the right, 92.
See you later.
She leaves the unopened bottle behind. He lowers the window.
Thanks, Charles.
You are so welcome. Hey, I'll see you in class, okay?
Yes, you will.
All right. Hey, Trudy. You just earned yourself 5 stars.
Oh, back at you.
Charles's smile fades as he stares after her. Hey, hey, baby, why? Trudy opens her front door. Setting her keys down on a side table, she grabs mail, places her bag on a chair, and ambles through the living room. She sets the pile of mail on a desk and continues into the kitchen. She grabs a green bowl and spoon, then sets them on a small round table. Reaching above the fridge, Trudy grabs a cereal box, then opens the fridge. She returns to the table with a half gallon of milk. A dark-haired woman with sleepy eyes enters.
Hey, what time is it? A little before 2. Did I wake you?
Oh, I had to pee.
You look exhausted.
I'm fine.
You're not fine. You've got bags under your eyes, too skinny, and you haven't showered in 3 days.
Two.
Three, I'm counting.
Yeah, well, I'm busy.
Oh, that's bull. You're hiding.
Hiding from what?
Real life.
Yeah, real life starts next year.
Oh, what? When you work 90 hours a week as a lackey in some high-powered law firm?
Yeah, well, it's what I want.
You know what? We're gonna go out.
Grudge.
No, shh. Stop. We're going out. You need it.
Yeah, like a hole in the head.
I am so sick of seeing you moping around trying not to think of that damn ex of yours. We're going out.
Gretchen steals a spoonful of cereal, then walks off.
We're not going out.
Daytime, in a classroom.
The classical theory of criminal justice revolves around the idea that a person who breaks the law does so with rational free will, and that society, therefore, should design a punishment of equal severity to the crime.
Trudy raises her hand.
Ms. O'Donnell.
But a prerequisite for the classical philosophy is that all humans are hedonists, that we prefer pleasure over pain and are therefore deterred from committing crimes by the threat of uncomfortable circumstances.
The professor points at her.
I'm not sure I buy that.
So you are more of a positivist, then?
Well, yes. Like Kant, I think that our criminal justice system should work to improve society, not cater to its most base instinct. The problem is that our penal system is absolutely classical in its theory and design.
Okay, is it really classical by design, or is that just in practice? The forces that push people into criminal behavior, whether it's social or psychological, I mean, even biological, those are the same forces that push our penal system back to that classical way of thinking.
That is a frightening thought. So you're saying that people would rather retaliate than rehabilitate?
Absolutely. I mean, it is human nature, right? Eye for an eye, Hammurabi. Society tries, but they can't seem to rein in that innate aggression.
Hence the debate behind the Western philosophy of legalism. Thank you both so very much. We're out of time for today. Bring it back here next time when we discuss the vital importance of an uncontaminated crime scene in the forensic examination of trace evidence. Don't come in here if you don't do the reading.
You know, I think where the classical theory breaks down is with the assumption that the criminal mind is rational. I mean, it's not. Do you want to grab a coffee and discuss it?
Nice try.
What? Did I say something wrong?
I'm not interested, Charles. I've told you a million times. Thanks again for the ride.
She walks down the hall. Charles throws up his hands.
It's just coffee!
Looking over her shoulder, she waves a hand. Nighttime, a luxury crossover SUV pulls to a stop. Trudy steps out in pink heels. She pulls down on her short, tight dress.
There are so many other things I should be doing.
Hey, you know what? For someone that looks as hot as you do right now, you complain a lot. Okay, maybe you should do me a favor. Change your attitude and have fun with me tonight, please. Come on. Hi, Steve.
Gretchen hugs the bouncer, Steve.
Good to see you. Come on. Thank you.
Steve opens the stanchion's velvet rope. The girls enter a smoky club with neon DJ lighting. Trudy dances with two dudes. Gretchen grinds her butt against the clubber in the bathroom.
I did not need that last fireball shot.
That wasn't the last one. We're about to get another round for those guys.
Oh, no. I am going home.
You're such a lightweight. The night's just getting started.
Really? Okay. I'm having fun. I am. But I have so much to do tomorrow, and I just need to go home before it gets ugly.
Oh, come on. That guy is so cute.
Oh, I know. That's why I need to leave.
Okay, honestly, I'm not ready to go yet.
Just stay, then. I'll take a night car.
One more shot.
Gretch.
Okay, I love
Bye.
You.
Love you.
A black neck car prowls the city. Trudy walks outside the club checking her phone. A man follows her with outstretched arms. She flips her hair to him. The neck car parks nearby. Inside, an obscured figure watches. The man trudges off. Tapping her heel, Trudy focuses on her phone. The figure drives forward. She gets into the back seat. City lights flare across the male figure with disheveled hair. Trudy's gaze flits from the window to him.
There's water back there if you want it.
She unscrews a water bottle and drinks.
Thank you, I need that.
Closing her eyes, she takes a long sip.
John's got a buzz on in the back. That's where
Trudy adjusts in her seat and continues drinking. Her image blurs. Fade to black. Soft daylight shines across Trudy's eyes, still covered in eyeshadow and mascara. Her heavy eyes blink awake. Bright sunlight creeps in through a curtain. She lies face down and naked on a motel bed. Her eyes flit back and forth. Wrapping the sheets across her chest, she knits her brow and pushes up. Trudy looks over her shoulder at the wood-paneled walls, then across another twin bed to the window. She pushes off the bed and peers outside through the slit in the curtains. Her lips tremble. Her focus shifts to the room's kitchen area, lit by a stove lamp. She lumbers into the bathroom. She pulls on the faucet tab, starting the shower. She remembers in quick flashes, rain, the net car, the figure leading her into the motel room, falling onto the bed, the figure straddling her body. Trudy turns off the shower. She hurries out. sitting on the edge of the bed, she runs a hand through her hair. Picking up the motel phone, she dials 911. Crime scene tape cordons off the room's exterior, a cruiser's lights flash, bystanders watch. A female detective escorts Trudy to a black SUV. In a sterile exam room. Lying on a table, Trudy clenches her jaw, a doctor's gloved hand scrapes blood from under her fingernail. The doctor takes photos.
Okay, Trudy. Now I need to do a speculum exam, which means I need to do an internal, vaginal, and anal swab. Would you like me to continue?
Yes.
The doctor widens Trudy's legs. Trudy's hand grips the table. Trudy squeezes her eyes shut. At the detective's desk.
This is emergency contraceptive and a clinic where you can have an HIV test.
Thanks.
That rape kit exam is not easy, but it is crucial in gathering the evidence we need to find, try, and convict this guy.
When will we get the results?
That can take several weeks.
Several weeks?
Trudy, this is a long and difficult process. But you've taken the hardest step in reporting your assault. Now you just need to be patient and let us do our job. In the meantime, what can you tell me about what happened?
That's the thing, I don't remember. It's like it was all just erased.
Sounds like Rohypnol.
A roofie?
Were you drinking last night?
Yes.
It's really easy to slip into a drink. Plus, combined with alcohol, it can cause memory impairment. The tox screen will confirm the results, but for now, it's a good bet that it's Rohypnol. Who had access to your drinks last night?
I don't know, the bartender. Oh, the guys we were dancing with, they bought us shots.
True?
Gretchen? My gosh.
I was so worried about you. Are you okay?
No.
Here, let's get you home.
I'll bring you clothes. We can continue this later. Go home.
Thank you.
Behind a translucent curtain, Trudy showers. She lowers her chin to her chest and weeps.
That's the thing. I don't remember.
Holding a coffee mug, she sits with Gretchen.
I remember getting in the net car. And then waking up in a motel room naked.
I shouldn't have made you come out. I shouldn't have let you leave alone.
I'm just glad you're okay. I mean, those two guys, I thought...
What? No, those two guys were harmless. Who was your driver?
I never thought about that.
Trudy checks her phone.
I got a no-show.
What does that mean?
It means... My car showed up and I wasn't there.
Then who drove you?
Exactly. God, I'm such an idiot. I mean, I just hopped into a black car and assumed it was my ride.
Truth, it was an honest mistake. Okay, I would have done the same thing. It's not your fault.
No. It's my fault.
Detective Jackson steps out of her SUV and enters the motel office.
Hi, I'm Detective Jackson, Westchester PD. Were you on duty the night of May 14th?
Yeah.
Are you aware that a rape occurred in room 106?
Yeah, my boss told me about it.
I understand that the man who rented that room paid in cash.
Yeah, if that's what it says in the ledger, then yeah, I suppose.
And you didn't ask him for ID or have him fill out an information card?
My lady, look, most of the people that stay here, they like to stay anonymous, you know what I mean?
So it's your policy not to ask for ID?
If they pay in cash.
Did you see what he was driving?
Black Town Car, maybe? Something boxy, Doc.
License plate?
You serious?
I'm gonna need to see your security camera footage from that night.
Good luck with that.
Do you think this is funny?
It's $9.99 online. Put a little AA battery right in there. It makes a little red light go. It's pretty convincing, huh? Fooled you, detective, so.
All right, so what can you tell me about this guy?
Pretty average. 5'10 or so. A little heavy set.
How was he dressed?
Not bad. Pretty sharp for somebody that would stay here, at least.
Would you be willing to work with one of our sketch artists?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk to my boss and sort it out, sure.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be in touch.
Look forward to it.
Arms crossed, Trudy sits at her kitchen table and stares off.
Hey. You going to class today?
No, I don't feel up for it.
Do you want me to stay with you today?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, get outside. Get some exercise or something.
I will.
Seriously?
I will. Sounds like a good idea.
Gretchen sits and smiles slightly.
You're gonna be okay.
Am I?
Of course you are. You are a strong, angry woman who can make a difference.
Yeah, but how?
Well, that's something you're gonna have to figure out. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you too.
Her phone lights up. Mom Mobile. Trudy stares at the incoming call. She blinks away tears. She picks up her phone and taps the screen. Police station, a male officer escorts Trudy past a copier and desks and down a corridor. He points her to Jackson's open door.
Trudy, come in. I was just about to call you. The results of your tox screen have come back.
And?
You tested positive for the drug flunitrazepam, rohypnol, as we suspected.
What about the rest of my rape kit?
Well, none of the forensic diagnostics have been done yet. Unfortunately, there's a backlog of these. But the lab technician did tell me that there was vaginal swelling consistent with intercourse, and that she was able to identify a small piece of latex and a semen sample.
Great. So he raped me and the condom broke.
Yes, but that does give us an advantage. He doesn't necessarily know this, and now we have a DNA sample.
I mean, did you learn anything else? Anything from the hotel? Did anyone at the club see anything?
No, unfortunately not. He knew what he was doing, and he covered his tracks pretty well.
Does this case fit any other MO? Any other case that you might be looking into?
We cross-referenced his methods, the car, the motel, but until we get forensic evidence back from the lab, it's just too early to tell.
Just out of curiosity, how many of these cases do you actually solve?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Educated guess.
20 to 30%.
I actually looked into it, and nationally only 32% of all rape cases are reported.
That sounds about right.
7% of those lead to an arrest, and only 2% are convicted.
Yes.
That means that 98% of all rapists are walking the streets free. Not very good odds.
No. I'm afraid not.
Trudy runs up a small residential street.
Hi, Charles.
Trudy, hi. Did you change your mind about that coffee?
I want to learn to drive a net car.
Trudy gets into her car. Charles slips into the passenger seat.
Hey. Wait. So you know how the app works?
Yeah.
You get an alert when you're in the vicinity of a fare. Seriously, pay attention to that star rating. You do not have to pick up anybody that you are not comfortable with, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You upgraded your insurance?
Yes.
Do you have a case of water in the trunk?
Okay. I get it.
Okay. Really, you're going to be awesome, okay? Call me if you have any questions.
Thanks, Charles. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
He hesitates.
You know, you never did exactly tell me. Why are you doing this anyway?
A little extra cash, just like you.
Something more to it, though, isn't there?
She tilts her head and raises her brow.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Listen, good luck. You're gonna be great, okay?
Good job.
Trudy drives through a busy roundabout. The afternoon sun shines bright. She pulls to a curb where two ladies approach.
I can't believe you told him you're from Sweden.
What? Wasn't I convincing?
No, not even close. Hey, we're going to 14 Schuster Road.
Vitunoken is a little white lie. I tell you a little Vitunoken. You are the most handsome man I see today.
And he goes, really?
Classic.
You girls go to Becker?
Yeah, one more year.
Nice, I got my undergrad there.
Really, and now you drive a net car? Really encouraging. Sorry, just kidding.
You know, you don't know anything about me.
Sorry, I was just kidding. I didn't mean anything by it.
Like, seriously, you don't know anything about me, yet you just hopped right into my car and gave me your home address. You should be more careful.
I saw you arriving on my phone. Driver, Trudy, Greg Carolla.
What, that's not you? No, that's me. But people aren't always who they say they are.
Whatever.
Trudy glares at them in the rear view. She drives alone. Twilight fades into night. She parks opposite the nightclub with a flashing marquee. She tilts her head in the side mirror. She clicks accept on her Netcar app. A man waits on a sidewalk near a fountain.
Service for?
Oh, couple years now.
Couple years and you still have 5 stars. It's impressive.
Well, let me tell you, a little courtesy goes a long way.
Oh, isn't that the truth? That I just snapped at a customer, it cost me about 0.5 star.
Yikes. And what happened?
It doesn't matter. Just having a tough couple weeks. Worst chapter of my life, really.
Well, I'm not having a great week either. My girlfriend broke up with me.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's not your fault. I should have seen it coming. Let me ask you this. When a woman says, it's not you, it's me, like, should I believe that?
Honestly?
Yeah.
No. She's just softening the blow.
Well, thank you for the ego boost.
I mean, okay, it may be her feelings that have changed, but, I mean, it's you she fell out of love with.
The man stares out the window and rubs his scraggly beard.
Are you okay?
Hmm?
You okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Face these things head on, huh? That's what I always say.
That's right. Still stings, though.
Yeah.
She slows near an intersection.
This looks good right here.
Okay.
He taps on the front passenger window. Trudy rolls it down.
Look, I'm sorry for emotionally unloading on you like that.
No problem.
You know, if I ever need another ride, is there a way that I could just request you?
Well, you have my work phone number and your cell. So if I'm available, I'd be happy to pick you up.
Well, that's not what I meant.
What did you mean?
I meant I want to call you. You know, like, call you.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Nah, you're right. That's stupid. Sorry. Well, have a good night, all right?
You too.
Okay.
She follows him in her car up the sidewalk. He leans over and waves, in class.
Any experienced crime scene officer is going to tell you that the most important thing they can do to ensure that any evidence that they find stands up in court is to control and secure that crime scene. So we're talking about a large perimeter. We're talking about essential personnel only.
What about the victim?
Victims get attended to.
Attended to? Dr. Bell, every TV crime drama I've ever seen has hammered home the idea of a clean crime scene. But shouldn't the rights of the victim and her well-being come first?
No. Not at the expense of evidence that's going to convict a perpetrator.
Really? So?
Charles leans forward.
A rape victim, for example, who has just been violated and assaulted and can't shower, has to sit through 5 hours of a dehumanizing rape kit examination before anybody asks her if she's okay.
Charles stares.
I think the majority of our crime scene officers and our law enforcement personnel are more compassionate than that. Ms. O'Donnell.
Gritting her teeth, she grabs her bag and storms out. Daytime, Trudy and Gretchen stand outside the club.
Which way did he come from?
That way.
I mean, he was waiting for someone like you. He might have already been watching.
Trudy traces her steps past the club to where the net car was parked. Flashback, the net car's headlights shine. The obscure driver approaches Trudy.
He was parked right there. Perfect view to the entrance of the club. I mean, he was just waiting for a single girl to come out who looked like she was going to get a net car. I was a sitting duck.
Gretchen rubs Trudy's shoulder. Trudy parks at the motel. She and Gretchen step out and approach the front office.
Hi.
Hi. Do you mind if we take a look at room 106?
I mean, I'm not really supposed to just let you into a room. Oh, you know, it's fine. Let me just make sure that nobody's in there. You don't mind if I ask you what this is all about, do you?
Did you work the night of May 14th?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. But, the cops already came and I told them everything I know, so...
Trudy glances sidelong at Gretchen, who nods.
Yeah, I was the girl.
Oh. That's messed up, yo. I'm sorry.
Is this you, Mark?
No. Mark's the manager here. I'm Roger.
Oh, give me the pen. Roger what?
Roger Dennison.
She writes on the back of a business card.
Great. Okay.
Oh, sorry. It's the silver one.
I'll bring it right back.
Take your time.
Roger stares after them. In room 106, the twin beds are perfectly made, the curtains drawn.
Gosh, this place is a dump.
Trudy sits on the far side bed. She lies down on her side.
What do you remember?
I woke up right here.
In flashback, the figure walks her into the room. He pulls her dress over her head. A blurred child's face watches. She pushes against a man's chiseled chest. He grips her chin, pinning her down. The child's alien-like face turns to her screaming. Trudy sits upright.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's his face. It's bizarre.
It's okay, don't force it.
You put up a fight. I remember that.
Trudy parks outside their house. Two girls on bicycles ride by.
Is this helping? Yes. I want to get inside his head. Find the flaws in the system. I'd be thinking about it 24/7 anyway. I might as well feel like I'm actively answering questions.
And the cops still have nothing.
Nope.
All right, well, don't work too late.
Come on.
Before I forget,
what is this?
It's pepper spray. If I could buy you a gun, I would, but just in case.
Be careful.
Trudy nods.
Hey, Gretch. Thanks for everything.
Smiling, Gretchen winks. Trudy knits her brow as Gretchen climbs the stoop with their address, 9092. She reaches into the back seat for her purse and pulls out Detective Jackson's card. Trudy dials.
Detective Jackson. It's Trudy O'Donnell. I thought about something. He knows where I live.
Okay, it's all right. How does he know your address?
I told him. When I got in the car, I told him my address. And I'm usually so careful to just give them the cross streets.
Has he been there? Have you noticed anything suspicious?
No. God, I can't believe I gave him my address.
Judy, the crime he committed against you
was not personal. It was violent and intimate, but not personal.
Nothing you did caused the attack. You were just
in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Do they ever go after the same person twice?
I can't say that it never happens, but it is rare. These kind of crimes are opportunistic.
It's not your fault. Do you understand me?
No, I don't.
Bye.
At her desk, Jackson sighs heavily and hangs up. Charles carries two to-go mugs to a table in a school common area.
Hey, you look like you could use one.
Charles?
Hey.
Yeah, I could actually use a coffee. Is there cream in it?
Cream and one equal. Just how you like it.
Taking off her glasses, she frowns.
Thank you. How do you know that?
Pay attention. So, how is the neck car driving going?
You never warned me that I would have to become a therapist.
People do tell you their problems, don't they?
Oh my God, do they ever.
He glances at an opened article.
Vanderbilt rape case?
Yeah, what do you know about it?
Well, I mean, they were idiots. I mean, not that it's any less atrocious, but they didn't go out that night planning to rape that girl. Circumstances just took a dark turn when they brought her back to the dorm passed out.
Do you know the prosecutors knew that because the boys kissed her?
Really?
Yeah. Like she was their girlfriend. And like she might be turned on. Like there might be consent.
But of course there wasn't. She was unconscious.
Charles, what does a kiss mean to you?
I mean, do you want me to show you?
Charles.
Okay, all right. Sorry. But a kiss can be even more intimate than intercourse.
Her brows crease.
Yeah.
Nighttime, she drives. Her phone open to the Netcar app sits in a holder on the dash. She taps the phone, then parks outside a Coney Island restaurant. Two dudes in baseball caps and chains hop in the back.
Hey baby, how we doing tonight?
Where you headed?
Oh, why so cold, huh? What's at a smoke show like you doing working for Netcar?
I'm not your baby.
I don't know about that, but I do know you are smoking hot. I'd do you in a heartbeat.
Get out. Get out. Get out of my car. Get out of my car.
Hey, well, there's no point in making a scene.
He was just messing with you. They didn't mean nothing by it. Come on, can we just all get back in and go where we need to go?
No, get out of my goddamn car.
Oh, hey, look. I'm sorry about what I said. It was wrong. It won't happen again. Listen, it's not worth a bad customer rating. Really? I'm sorry. Come on, Trudy. Me and my boy Carlos here. We're not looking for any trouble. Hey, we just want to go out and have a little fun.
Yeah, where are you going?
Oh, what's that strip club down on South Bridge Street? Sweaty Betty's.
Typhoon Betty's, really?
Oh, yeah! No doubt, you know it! Come on. I'll be good, I promise. No hard feelings.
Gritting her teeth, she blinks.
Okay. One more crack and you're out.
I like your fire, girl.
Heck in the car.
Hey, Carlos's sister, she's a dancer down at Sweaty Betty's. We're just gonna go and keep an eye on her. Seriously, huh?
Carlos and me, we get all the tail we want. We don't need to go hang out in no strip bar.
All right, okay, yeah, I know. Watch my language. I'll shut up.
You know, it's not about the language. It's about respecting women.
Oh, I respect Carlos's sister. Oh, she is a dime piece. Oh, yeah.
See, that right there? You immediately sexually objectified her.
No, I respect her beauty.
Oh, do you? Or do you just want to have sex with her?
Well, maybe, but, you know, it's Carlos's sister, and he'd probably, like, straight up kill me, right, Carlos?
No.
Glaring, she grips the wheel.
Hey, so, what's the deal? You don't like guys or something? Are you a lesbian?
Okay, just stop talking, okay? And I will get you to Sweaty Betty's.
Fine. Whatever. Hey, I don't know if you believe me, but, no means no with me. I take that stuff really serious.
He checks his phone.
Mira, yo, it's Manuel. Mira, yo. Hey, Trudy. Yo, change of plans, pull over here.
She pulls off near an overpass.
Hey, stupido, stay in the car! End our ride.
But you're not getting out.
Please, I freaking respect you. Now just do what I told you and end our ride.
No, not if you're not getting out of the car.
He flashes a gun.
Oh my God, okay. There, I ended it. What do you want? I don't have any cash.
Give me 5 stars.
There. Okay, fine, I gave you 5 stars.
Now turn off your phone. You're going on break.
God, please don't hurt me. There, stop.
Good. Turn around. You turn. Dad, we're going to get Manuel.
Okay, look, I'll cooperate, but you're making me really nervous with that gun in my face, okay? Can you please put it away?
Yeah. Sorry. But if you try anything, it comes right back out. Understand?
Okay, fine. Okay. Thank you.
She speeds ahead of a city bus.
Where are you taking me?
It doesn't matter. Take a right up ahead.
She hooks a right near warehouses. A man holding his bleeding gut staggers alongside a barbed wire fence.
Aye, there he is.
Is he okay? Guys, we need to take him to a hospital!
Shut the hell up! Mira, you gotta get him to Dr. Espinosa.
No, he needs an ambulance! No,
ambulance!
Come on.
Get in the car!
No!
Get in the car!
No!
Mira!
Okay!
He points the gun. She complies.
Let's go!
It's the closest.
No, I told you, no hospitals. We have to get him to the dock.
Okay, he needs a hospital.
Listen, the hospital will call the cops. Now go to Winter and Harding behind the metal shop. Huh? Carlos, check his pockets. He got anything on him? Huh? Mira, you got anything?
Nothing.
Manuel, I told you to keep it simple. Why you have to go mess up like this? Wait, now you're shot. Yeah, I know. It hurts. It's okay. Let me get you to the doctor. Don't you think about dying on me. Manuel, don't you die. What are you looking at? Drive! It's okay.
She stops in an alley between concrete structures.
You're not gonna tell anybody about this, right?
No.
Okay. Seriously, don't tell the cops. You know, you're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hurt you enough. Okay. Good. I owe you one.
Juan and Carlos help Manuel to a steel door. Daytime, Trudy scrubs the back seat with a sponge.
Trudy!
What do you mean a drug dealer got shot and bled all over your back seat?
Gretchen walks up in a t-shirt and underwear.
Jude, why didn't you wake me up? Did you call the police?
No. Okay, Juan had a gun and made me promise not to tell the police.
He threatened you with a gun? Trude, stop. Talk to me.
I was so scared.
Gretchen wraps her arms around her.
I've never had a gun pointed at me before.
Let's go inside, okay? Have you had anything to eat?
No.
I'll make breakfast, all right?
Okay.
Let's go inside. We'll worry about this later.
Gretchen stares at the seat, then shuts the car door. Inside, she cracks an egg into a bowl.
I didn't sleep at all last night.
I bet.
Gretchen grabs a salt shaker.
Look, I really don't want to tell the police.
Why not?
I just don't.
Trude, he had a gun to your head.
I honestly don't think Juan was going to hurt me. He and I kind of bonded.
You bonded with a gangbanger. They could have killed you. Those guys are criminals. They need to be put behind bars.
They're only trying to survive the only way they know how. I mean, you really want to clog the courts with a couple of dope dealers when there are serial rapists out there?
Nodding, Gretchen tightens her lips and turns to the stove. She dumps the scrambled eggs into a hot skillet. Outside a sunny office building, Trudy's car stops before a crosswalk.
Well, howdy, stranger.
Hey, Trudy.
Hey, how'd you know I was in the neighborhood?
I did. I guess it's my lucky day.
Get in.
Her previous passenger with the scraggly beard, Donovan, enters.
So, what's going on this evening?
Just meeting some clients for some drinks. I got an idea. Why don't you join me?
With your clients?
Yeah. Well, they're clients, but they're friends of mine.
It actually sounds like a lot of fun. I wish I could.
Come on, what time's your shift then?
Late.
Smiling, he shakes his head.
What do you do, by the way? We kind of skipped over the small talk last time.
Investment management. Super dull. But, pays the bills.
I imagine it pays them quite adequately.
Yeah, I suppose it does. Look, why don't you call whoever you have to call and just tell them you're clocking out?
You don't want to bring your net car driver to have drinks with your clients.
Oh, but I do. I do. Oh, wait. Oh, is that a smile? That's a smile. Yeah. Maybe you're finally turning the page on the worst chapter of your life.
I actually just got held up at gunpoint to go pick up a drug-dealing gunshot victim in an alley.
Come on. You kidding?
New chapter.
Nighttime at a diner. They sit at a booth.
Better?
Yeah. I'm sorry. The last thing you need right now is an overly emotional woman breaking down on you.
Yeah. Kidding. I'm kidding. Listen, no, there's nowhere else I'd rather be than right here with you right now.
Yeah, what about your clients?
They can wait. Do you want to talk about it?
No. No. I don't want to trouble you with my problems, okay? You don't even know me.
Well, honestly, I'd like to get to know you.
She tilts her head.
Are you flirting with me?
Yes. Hard. Sorry, was that inappropriately honest?
Yes.
Should I have denied I was flirting with you?
No.
Okay, well, you know, if honesty is one of my faults, I'm not sorry.
You shouldn't be. It's refreshing. It's just not really the best circumstance for flirting.
Well, that's not really your call to make now, is it?
Blinking, she stares down at her coffee mug.
I'm damaged goods.
We're all damaged goods.
Their eyes meet. She looks down and smiles. Parked outside the club.
Why didn't you go out for drinks with him?
He is just some guy I met in my net car. No. That is not the way I want to meet somebody.
He's smart, attractive. He has money. I mean, what more do you want?
I don't know. I broke down. I mean, I cried like a baby, and I don't even know him. I guess I just want a little more romance. Ugh, I hate feeling desperate.
That is so romantic. Are you kidding me?
Look, he stumbled into my life twice. If it's meant to be, he'll stumble in again.
That's the positive way of thinking.
The black net car pulls up to the curb and parks. Trudy peers through binoculars.
What? Let me write this down. Ready? Mask, are you ready?
Yeah. Go.
148-NK3.
NK3. Got it. I mean, should we call the cops?
Well, yeah, he hasn't done anything. I mean, it might be a legit net car.
I mean, what do you want to do? You just want to sit here and wait to see if he maybe raped someone?
Well, hopefully we can call the cops before something happens, but yes, okay, we need to find something incriminating.
The net car's headlights dim. The two friends watch. A woman outside the club taps her phone.
Wake up. She just requested a net car.
How do you know?
Trudy points to an accept notification.
Do you think he's monitoring the net car system too?
I'd imagine it's possible.
The woman in a tight dress waits near the curb and glances around.
Oh my gosh, look. He's pulling up.
He's not in that car. He's not on the GPS.
What do you want to do?
Oh
my gosh.
Put your seatbelt on.
Don't you think we should call the cops? Trudy!
The net car pulls into the motel parking lot. Trudy parallel parks nearby.
Well, now you have something to report.
She pulls her phone from the holder, dials, and presses it to her ear. The taillights dim, a man exits. Trudy slips part. Donovan shuts the driver's door and looks around.
Oh my god.
What?
It's him. Donovan.
Donovan?
Jackson flips on a bedside lamp.
Jackson.
Trudy.
Trudy, are you there?
Hi. I'm Trudy's roommate. Look, we're at the Slumber Haven Motel. He's here. He's got another girl with him.
Wait, slow down. What is your name?
My name is Gretchen Healy. I am Trudy's roommate.
Is Trudy there with you?
Yes.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. I'm fine. We're in the car. We followed him here.
Okay, do not go in there. Stay away from the motel. I'll send a unit right over.
Okay, thank you. They're on their way.
He was in my car. I mean, he gave me coffee. He had to know it was me.
Okay, maybe he didn't.
God, I'm so stupid. Oh, God,
I thought I liked him.
Hey, you're smart, okay? You followed your instinct. You didn't have drinks with
But him. I wanted to.
Do not do this to yourself.
God.
Donovan exits the motel's office. The neon vacancy sign flickers.
What is he?
Hold on.
Gretchen looks through the binoculars. He opens the back door and yanks out the disoriented woman who stumbles in his grip.
Oh my God, she's wasted.
Let me see.
Donovan walks her to a door. Trudy remembers, stumbling inside, her assailant throwing off his shirt, the alien-like face.
Get her out of there.
The cops are on their way.
We gotta get her out of there.
Detective Jackson said to wait in the car.
No, I don't care. Okay?
Just a second, hang on.
Police, open up, please.
Waist wrapped in a towel. Donovan opens room 106.
Hey, sorry, I was just in the shower.
You alone?
Yeah. Why?
We're investigating a possible kidnapping. We've got to report a suspicious activity here at the motel. Mind if we take a look around?
I'm pretty sure you need a warrant, but no, you know, help yourself. Go ahead.
You notice anything out of the ordinary?
Like what?
Wild guess? Screaming? Arguing?
No. It's been a pretty quiet night, actually.
The cop's partner shakes his head.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Of course.
Good night.
The cops step away to another door. Donovan spies Trudy's car. He shuts door 106. At the diner.
You two put yourselves into a very dangerous situation tonight.
I sat with him right here in this diner. He has ridden in my car.
But can you positively identify him from the night of your assault?
God damn it, no!
Do you recognize this man?
No.
It's an artist sketch based on the motel clerk's description of your assailant.
That doesn't make any sense. He wasn't...
This is our best lead right now.
Where was the girl?
Trudy, you know the law. There was absolutely nothing wrong in that motel room tonight. Nothing suspicious. No victim, no arrest.
We saw him take her in there.
But you can't identify him. And the man in that motel room doesn't even remotely resemble this drawing. I need you two to back off and let us do our police work.
You have no idea what I've been through. I can't just sit around and wait.
Unfortunately, I do know what you've been through. I've been through it myself. This is a victim's advocate. She works with social services, and I think she could be a big help to you right now. She'll help you navigate the system and give you someplace to vent your frustrations. In the meantime, you need to go home. Let me do my job. We're gonna get this guy.
We're not going home.
Trudy takes a sip of coffee, parked outside the motel.
What is he still doing in there?
Probably sleeping. Trude, it's 4:00 in the morning. He's not our guy. Can we please just go?
No, he's not sleeping.
Then what is he doing?
She's not even in there.
Yo, where'd she go? She has to be. We saw him bring her in there.
I don't know. Maybe he got adjoining rooms or something.
Look.
Donovan hefts the limp woman outside, her arm wrapped around his shoulder.
Oh my gosh, what's happening?
Just duck.
He loads her into the back of the neck car. Trudy and Gretchen duck. The net car slows near Trudy's car, then speeds off.
What are you doing?
Trudy follows. Dawn, the net car pulls into the driveway of a two-story home. Trudy slows to a stop. Donovan helps the woman out the back.
I'm so confused.
I'll come talk to her later. Let's let her sleep it off.
He and the woman enter the home. Trudy knocks on Donovan's door. She walks alongside two garage doors to a backyard gate. She climbs a set of small stairs onto a back porch.
What are you doing here?
Hi, my name's Trudy O'Donnell. I'm not selling anything. I think we had similar experiences.
What are you talking about?
A couple weeks ago, I got into a black net car, and I was raped by my driver. Do you remember how you got home last night?
What? No, I think you better go away.
No.
Go away or I'll call the police.
Just let me talk, please. Please, okay? I just want to help. I know who the man was, and I don't think he assaulted you.
Well, how did you find me?
I followed you home from the motel.
What motel?
How much do you know about what happened last night?
Okay, just, let me get dressed.
On the back porch, Trudy holds a glass of water.
Do you feel like you've been sexually assaulted? Or do you feel like you had sex?
No. I don't think so. I think I would know.
Good, that's what I thought. He's too smart to go through with it.
Oh my God, I mean, what the hell happened?
It's not your fault. He's not a net car driver. He just pulls up in a nice black car and we unsuspectingly get in.
And he raped you?
Yes.
Oh my God. I have to go to the police.
Would you? I was hoping you'd say that. This could really help my case.
Yeah, of course.
I'm so sorry.
Jackson enters an interrogation room.
Donovan! Thank you for coming in.
Am I under arrest?
No. I just wanted to talk to you about what happened at the motel the other night.
Okay, well then you're aware that I'm here completely at my own prerogative, and I can leave at any time.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I just wanted to tell you what we know, and see if maybe you could fill in a few holes for us. We have a witness that saw you pick up Elise Steele in front of the Palladium last Friday night. Did you know Miss Steele before she got into your vehicle?
He smirks at her.
We also know that she had Rohypnol in her system the following day.
Donovan stares with steely eyes.
That same witness saw you drop Miss Steele off in front of her home just a few hours later. Please, I'm just asking for a little cooperation here.
Listen, detective, I know my rights. I know how this works. And I don't mean to be obstinate, but I'd prefer to share any information I do or do not know in a court of law, if and when that should occur. And by the way, your officer, who didn't have a warrant, did a completely illegal search of my premises. And I'll press charges if I need to. Okay, then. I'm gonna leave now. Thank you for your service to our community, Detective. Mm-hmm.
Jackson rolls her eyes and leans back. Trudy exits her house. Donovan sits waiting on her porch.
Hi, Trudy.
What are you doing here?
I was in the neighborhood.
Oh. How do you know where I live?
Rising, he stalks to her.
Let's not play games here with each other, Trudy. I know you followed me to the motel. May I come in?
No. I don't want you to.
Why would you follow me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I think you do. You're afraid of me, aren't you? You should be.
I'll scream.
No.
He grips her neck.
You know, I really thought that we had a connection. I felt it. Didn't you? Nothing. You understand? Nothing. It's your word against mine. You don't have a shred of real evidence, so unless you want to live your life in fear, I would get off this little vigilante crusade of yours and just go back to living your pretty little life.
Nostrils flaring, she stares up at him defiantly. He goes to stroke her hair. She pulls away.
Go ahead. Scream.
He closes the porch's screen door, then turns to her before walking off. In flashes, she remembers. She slams her door shut. Gretchen quickly parks in their driveway and rushes up the stoop.
He was here.
Who?
Donovan. He saw us at the motel.
My God, did he hurt you?
No. But I know it was him.
Are you sure? You're not just wanting him to be the guy.
Oh, I'm sure. It has to be.
Okay, you need to call Detective Jackson.
So she can tell me the same thing you just did? That I'm projecting my memories? That the witness's sketch doesn't even match his description?
That damn motel clerk.
Yeah, I did a little research on him. Several arrests. Did a little time for a B&E in cocaine possession.
Maybe he's working with Donovan.
And my thoughts exactly. I have a plan. But I'm gonna need your help. Only if you're willing.
Nighttime, Trudy sits parked outside the club in Gretchen's car. Inside, Gretchen sips a drink at the bar. Wearing a black ball cap, Trudy gulps. Spying the black neck car parking in its usual spot, she puts her phone to her ear.
Hello?
Okay, he's in place.
Take a shot for courage.
Okay.
Love your guts.
Love you more. Can I have a shot of bourbon, please?
Gretchen downs the bourbon, then places a bill on the bar top. Trudy bites her lips, watching. Grinning, Gretchen stumbles outside. She leans on a parking meter and checks her phone. She glances up at her car parked in a vacant lot across the street. Trudy lets out a small nervous chuckle. The next car stops before Gretchen. She gets in. Trudy swallows. The next car pulls away. Trudy follows. As she drives, Trudy dials her phone.
Okay, we're en route. Remember the crime scene. Do not leave a trace.
In Donovan's backseat, Gretchen yawns.
Well, there's some water back there if you want it.
Thank you.
She takes the bottle, then switches it with another stashed in her purse. She opens her bottle and sips. Donovan eyes the rear view.
You all right back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, sleepy.
Well, you know what they say. Water's the best thing for you.
Yeah.
She takes another sip. Donovan eyes Gretchen, her head lolls against the headrest. He parks at the motel. Carlos works under the hood of a nearby car. His gaze follows Donovan walking to the office.
Mi carro se murió. No prende. Ah, di que no iba a encender. Sí, ya traté eso.
How you doing?
Good.
Can I get a room?
Yeah. $45 for the night. I need you to fill my visa for me.
Donovan hands Roger cash. Juan snaps a photo.
Yeah, hey, where the hell is Green Street?
It's, downtown, in Canal District.
Ah, no mames. Okay, yeah. Yeah, sí. Te debo uno, carnal. Gracias. How long is it gonna take him to get here?
This time of night, probably 15 or 20 minutes.
Serio? Okay. Thank you. Car trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, we all good here, what?
Yeah. Listen to me. It's the last goddamn time.
Donovan yanks his wrist from Roger's grip and leaves.
Hey, mira. Here we go.
Juan joins Carlos.
Go. So, Manuel's on his way, but it's gonna take him like 20 minutes to get here. The guy inside, he says he's down on like Canal District way.
Donovan goes to the net car's back door.
Come on.
Juan types on his phone.
Too much to drink.
Donovan lugs Gretchen to room 106. Carlos looks over his shoulder. Donovan drops her onto the first bed. Juan and Carlos don gloves. In the office, Juan lays his gun on the counter aimed at Roger.
I got a picture of you taking $200 from that douchebag.
I know what you did. So why don't you give me the master key, and I won't tell the cops what I know.
Whatever you want, bro.
Juan exits. Trudy parks in a spot near the office. Juan smiles.
Hey, why don't you go have a chat with your boy Roger? Carlos and me? We got some work to do.
Thanks, Juan.
Hey, Trudy, I told you. I owed you one.
She smiles, then strides toward the office. The two men creep toward 106.
Oh, Roger? I'm Trudy, remember me? Why don't you tell me about that sketch?
Carlos carefully turns the master key. They barge in.
What the hell? Where'd he go? Check the bathroom, check the bathroom.
Carlos throws up his hands. The room's TV flickers with static. Juan points and aims his gun at the room's adjoining door. Carlos tugs on the handle. Juan points. He and Carlos step outside. Juan looks around. Carlos inserts the key into the other room's door. Opening it, Donovan aims a gun at them.
What the hell?
Hey, who are you? Drop it, drop it.
That's just the wrong room, man. That's the wrong room.
In the office.
Call the police.
Easy, man. Easy, easy, easy. Actually, it's the wrong room, I know. But Roger, he told me to come down to 105. You know, that's it. That's all I was doing.
Shut up.
Hey, what's going on in there? Hey, is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. All right, looks like
Trudy maces Donovan's face, then rushes in. An assailant with a large, grotesque baby mask assaults Gretchen.
Get up!
They're freaking brothers! Take off the mask! Take it off!
Trudy forcefully removes the mask from the other assailant's face. Charles grins at her.
Hi, Trudy.
She whips around to Donovan, held at gunpoint on the floor.
Your brothers?
Trudy.
How could you? Huh? I trusted you. God, I cared about you. God, you violated me. You raped me.
I'm going to make sure that they put you away for a long time.
But you know they won't. I'll see you in 5 years. 3 on good behavior.
I'll be waiting.
One pushes Charles aside. Charles raises his hands.
I'm sorry.
Gretchen collapses into her arms crying. Trudy walks Gretchen outside wrapped in a blanket.
You won't believe what they said. When they thought I was unconscious.
Don't tell me, don't. All I know is they got in their own car that night.
Okay, well, we're gonna stick to the plan. You have to get out of here.
Okay. You have a pepper spray?
Yeah. Yes, it came in handy.
Okay.
Trudy hugs her.
I love you, Guts.
I love you more.
You got the DNA sample?
Gretchen shows her palm.
It's my girl.
She pats Gretchen's cheek, then walks off. Holding back tears, Gretchen looks back at the room. Inside, Charles and Donovan sit on the floor. Duct tape covers their mouths. Blood drips from clawed fingernail marks on Charles's neck. Trudy drives alone. Trudy stares in the rear view at the passing police cruisers.
Oh, how I feel for you dripping all over. It wasn't pretty, you thought it never happened. Well, who you kidding? It's time to let it go, let it go. Unless it's something goofy, like in the movies.
A slight smile crosses her lips. Fade to black. Previous credits, produced by Mark Donadio, Miriam Marcus. Credits appear. Supervising sound editor, Christopher D. Anderson. Sound effects editor, Travis White. Re-recording mixer, Christopher D. Anderson. Credits continue.
Well, devil's got your boyfriend. He's got the one who said he'd always love you. He'd never leave you. Devil's got your boyfriend. He's got your boy and he'll never let go. Ba-ba-da. Patinas, you won't believe it. I heard it from another. I'm New Orleanian. Well, anything can happen. Maybe his sister, but he said she lived in Bend, Oregon. That's it with something Freudian. And once you notice, it's like peeling up an onion. Layer by layer, liar by liar. It gets later and later. And you haven't done a thing, done a thing.
Copyright 2015 Mar Vista Entertainment, LLC, all rights reserved.
He'd always love you, he'd never leave.